you almost got led to believe it was out of your reach. And this is one of the things I try and tell young people now. If you want to go for it, go for it. Because when you get to my age, and I get loads of blokes at my age turn around and go, oh, I wish I'd done selection. Well, it's too late now, you fat cunt. My faces and shit, I'm cammed up. I've got my fucking helmet off on. I'm like, that chin strap's undone. And I've got the fucking brigade commander giving me a fucking two stripes. He's just ripped off a fluff of one of the corporals. I've always said to people, if you create a shit sandwich or you get dealt a shit sandwich, choke the fucking thing down and move on, because, you know what I mean? Lingering about lifting it up and smelling it and trying to pick the pieces out of it ain't going to work.
Guys, welcome back to another episode of the Combat Fuel podcast. Today, we are joined by former PWRR soldier and then, at the end of his career, 22 SAS, Mr. Big Phil Campion. Phil, thank you so much for joining us. Give us a brief introduction about yourself.
How far back do you want me to go? Shall we start at the very beginning, shall we? Shall we start at the very beginning? So I was adopted as a child. Things went wrong from the very beginning, because my old man lost his job almost on the week that they picked me up from London. Like, do you know what I mean? It was like he lost his job and things spiraled out of control. He was a drunk as well. Violent man. Big old geezer, but a violent man and violent towards his own family. Like, do you know what I mean? So my early memories of being a child aren't brilliant. They aren't brilliant, but there were lessons learnt as a child. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, it was a difficult, tough time. And then, like I say, I struggled at school. I was clever, but I had the attention span of a goldfish. Like, do you know what I mean? I was forever just looking out the window and dreaming of bigger things, and couldn't be interested. I could never correlate where being able to add up was going to ever help me out in life. Like, do you know what I mean? I don't want to do that. Do you know what I mean?
Just to remember algebra from school.
Oh, mate, I couldn't do it. I found out later on, much later on in the military, I found out that I'm actually dyslexic with numbers.
Yeah.
So she called me a number jumbler or something like that. I don't know. I'm like, I'm fucked. Do you know what I mean? I can't read numbers properly. So I'm like, what is he? So you'd sit there in class, and you didn't know that as a kid. So you sit there and you can't work out why you can't do it. And it's frustrating because kids are all coming. You know, your kids are all sat there and they're like, they're doing their things. And they're like, right, yeah. And they go, right, hold up your answers. 7, 7, 7, 7, 14. How the fuck has that happened? Like, where did that come from? And so that's how I felt at school. Do you know what I mean? And then that puts you on the back foot. Then that gets you sectioned out from the other kids, doesn't it? And then before you know it, you get bullied, don't you?
Yeah.
So. Didn't have a great time at school.
And then if that was, back in the day, we'll call it, without calling you old, like ADHD, having dyslexia, so anything like that. What was it?
I would 100% now be on the spectrum and probably quite a way up it, like, you know what I mean? Without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt. But in the day, naughty kid.
Yeah.
It was just naughty kid. So you sorted that one or two ways, belted or sent home.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They did. I got caned at school. Do you know what I mean? I got held your hand up and smacked on the fingers and all that sort of shit. Do you know what I mean? So that was your options. You know, it wasn't, there was no looking in or investigating or thinking why. It was like, no, sort yourself out or do one.
And how was, like, your physicality at school? Home life wasn't great, is that fair to say?
No. I enjoyed being at school. I wanted stuff to do. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't one of these who was ever going to run away from school because there was nothing to do. I'd go and sit in the park all day. No. I want to be there. I want to do stuff. But then when I started doing stuff, outside of anything physical, I couldn't apply myself. I was all right at English. You know what I mean? I had a fairly high IQ when they tested me eventually, but I couldn't apply myself in there, and I couldn't find the. And I think it's even now when I look at kids, and I think, well, I can fully understand a kid that can't sit there like the others because they've got other things on their mind. That's not the kid being a twat. That's the kid just going, I function differently to these kids.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that either. But they're told it's wrong, or you were in the day. In my day, you were told that's wrong.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And that ain't wrong. It just means you're function different to this kid.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was, wasn't it? It was, you're just naughty.
And if you're repeatedly told that, that's what you become. It. Or, you know, that's where you believe you are. You know, when I was in the children's home, I was under no illusions, especially once the abuse started, I was under no illusions that I was the scumbag. Do you know what I mean? I was told every day, you're the scumbag, you're the scumbag, you're the scumbag.
What about now, looking back on it? Do you still feel that way? Or do you know, you understand that?
No, I understand myself now. I understand who I am and what I am and what I'm capable of. And I've got a, res- a respect for the wider people as well. Do you know what I mean? I understand that everybody should be treated. You know, you can judge somebody by how they treat somebody who can do nothing for them.
Yeah.
You know, those sorts of principles. I didn't learn those principles as a child because I wasn't taught them. I wasn't shown them. I found them out through a lifetime of poking about and getting things wrong.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Because I have done it an old, you know?
Yeah. But found out your own way.
Yeah. Yeah. I never had that role model when I was a kid. So I never had, you know, my father figure was an absolute drunk who smashed me up and smashed my mother up. School teachers were what they were, but they weren't what I wanted to be. And in some respects, in many respects, I looked at them as something that I would never want to be even. Do you know what I mean? I looked at school teachers genuinely as people who spend their whole life in school. Because they don't know. They go to school, they go to college, they go back to school.
Yeah.
Fuck off. I don't want to do that. Really, do you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. I don't want to do that. Do you know what I mean? I want to get out and, you know, I knew that there was other stuff out there. I just didn't know how I could. I mean, I wanted to be a footballer, like every kid, do you know what I mean? And I could have played for England, but I was shit.
I love that.
So, yeah, you're driven by your own capabilities in that respect. But I did realise that I wasn't going to be doing what other people were doing. I didn't want to do what other people were doing. You know, I never have wanted to do what other people are doing. I want to do what I want to do.
Love it. So you were adopted?
Yes.
Did you know you were adopted from a
young always
age?
Told, you're always told. From the earliest of earliest. I remember my mum explaining it to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is mummy, this is daddy. This is how it works for you. That was mummy and that was daddy, but we're looking after you. Do you know what I mean? So I always remember those sorts of conversations.
Yeah. Did you still get to see your biological mum and dad?
I did meet them, yeah, years later. It's a bizarre story. My then wife went searching for it. I couldn't be bothered. I genuinely couldn't less or give a shit. I genuinely was like, nah, don't care. They didn't want me. I don't want nothing to do with them, right? Yeah. My then partner went, well, you know, we've got kids. What happens if, you know, there's some sort of hideous hereditary disease that you've got that you're just going to pile in? We need to know who they are and what they are. And I was like, well, you want to find them. That's what you've got to do then, because I couldn't be bothered.
Yeah.
And it was the weekend I got badged at Hereford. I came home and she went, I've got a number in London. I think it might be your mum. I said, oh, fuck off. There's my badge. I went down the drummer. You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? I'm fucking hell. Really? Got up in the morning. She's still poking at me. So I went and phoned this number up and it was my mother. It was my grandmother. And I went, we just dropped everything, got in the car, drove up to London, and I met my whole family the same weekend I got badged. It was fucking bizarre.
I bet.
Absolutely bizarre. Brothers, Jimmy White, the snooker player, was there. I was like, that's your uncle. Do you know? I'm like, fucking hell.
Wow.
Yeah, it's mad.
A little bit of, look at me, look what I've achieved. Just badged into
Hereford. I didn't make a big deal of it, but then, you know, they're going, oh, what do you, I was like, oh, I'm in the army, I've just been badged, I'm in the SAS. I'm like, fuck off. You know, get on the balcony, idiot.
Yeah.
Well, oh, Jesus Christ, he's a walk.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So, and it was bonkers. It was genuinely bonkers. And I think Jimmy never believed that I was in the regiment until I picked him up one day in a Range Rover and I had the blue lights in the grill.
Yeah.
I fucking blue lighted him through London in this fucking Range Rover. And when I got to his house, I had my kit in the back and I got all the fucking guns out and that in his front room. So I had kids walking around with MP5s in the front room and that.
Oh, mate.
Yeah.
Stories.
It was funny.
Did he believe you then?
Yeah, he didn't believe me then. He's fucking eyes, like, fucking hell. What's he got? What's in that bag?
Oh, mate, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
But fast forwarding back then, rewinding, should I say. So before like anything in the military or anything in SAS, you were a kid that was like not doing great at school, that naughty kid. What was your driving factor to want to join the military in the first place?
Do you know what? I didn't really think about it. So when I got expelled from my comprehensive and they did an IQ test on me, they sent me to this posh boarding school up in Oxford and they paid for it. But I got bullied there because I was the poor kid. Like, do you know what I mean? I genuinely got bullied there and I didn't like it. Anyway, I ended up getting thrown out. They expelled me. I smashed someone up and they expelled me. But the only thing at that school where I felt that everybody was the same was the CCF. Because, in fact, I felt more than the same because some of these people weren't as fit as what I was. I've always been fit. Okay, always been able to move around and I've always been fit. So as a kid, that was massively important. So as soon as you put that green uniform on, you were all the same.
Yeah.
One of the biggest bullying factors for me in that school was the fact that they all had, like, their trousers tailored and I couldn't afford it. So I just had them how they came. The fucking great big bell bottoms on, you know what I mean? I looked all right to it. Anyway, great big collars on me, and that, you know what I mean? And I just had what they was given.
Yep.
And they all had this stuff that they bought themselves. So that was, there was none of that in the CCF. You go to the store, you get given the same odd shape jumper as everybody else. You've got the same putties, you've got the same, and you know, all of a sudden you're all the same. So then the standout thing for me was, well, I'm fitter than you. You know what I mean? And yeah, I can do this and I can crawl about all day and I'm actually enjoying myself.
Yeah.
So the CCF was massive for me at that school because that was the only place other than the football pitch where I felt, and even on the football pitch, I couldn't afford the boots that everybody else had. You know what I mean? But it was the only place where everybody was the same. Do you know what I mean? In fact, it drove me over and above other people because I was fit. So I could assimilate. I wasn't bothered about, oh, we're going to go and do this today. That's great because I love walking however many miles we're going to do. Didn't care. So that was a great. Well, I didn't think about that for years. And when I left that school, you know, I thought all my dreams of joining the army had disappeared and all that sort of stuff. And it wasn't until I did a CCF, I was working on that. What was it called? The YTS, the youth training scheme. That at the end, when that came to an end, the guy that was running it was an ex-admiral or something in the Navy. And he said to me, look, I ain't got a job for you. He said, you know, you got no qualifications. I had a cycle proficiency. I took that twice. Do you know what I mean? He goes, you need qualifications to do what you want to do. And I said, well, what am I going to do? And he said, well, have you ever thought about joining the army? And all of a sudden, it's sort of like a light bulb. I was like, yeah, actually, I have, yeah. Obviously, I wasn't going to be joining as an officer as I had sort of like wanted to when I was in the public school, but this wasn't about that. He said, well, let's... He couldn't get me down to the careers office quick enough. He's like, get down there, you bloody idiot. Like, you know what I mean? And I went down there. Grenadier Garb was in there, big old fella, talked to me about the guards and nothing else. And I'm like, well, I don't fancy the guards, to be honest. But I couldn't tell him because he'd have fucking screwed up. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm like, fucking hell. Anyway, I thought, no, I don't fancy that because that's... I just didn't fancy the guards. And then there was been a programme about the parachute regiment on. And I thought, right, let's just tell him Paris. I didn't even know what they were really. I was like, right, yeah, parachute regiment, mate. So they sent me away, did Sutton Coldfield, passed all my tests, got back to him and he went, if you want to join the parachute regiment, he said, there's a 6-month waiting list. He said, however, and they must have been a recruiting drive into the county regiments. He went, however, if you want to be a Royal Hampshire, you can go next week. I'm not fucking Royal Hampshire, I am then. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'll see you later, cheers. I'm off. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Cheers. And that was it. That was me gone. Yeah. And the whole process didn't take too long at all. So really, I wasn't left in that sort of like thing in Civvy Street where I had nothing to do.
Yeah.
Because that would have been disastrous for me. Because
I have to take note. That's how they used to recruit people. In, done, none of this, 18-month.
Yeah, absolutely, Capita, take note. Go and speak to an actual person behind an actual desk.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Because actually serving.
Who understands and looks at you and can answer your questions and you absolutely. Don't get a bot and you don't have to fill things in.
And they're a good judge of character, aren't they? You know, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, you will. And
they handle expectation as well. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
If I'd have told him helicopter pilot, he'd have laughed. Do you know what I mean?
I did, mate. Yeah. I went to an army careers officer. I want to fly planes. And they were like, this is the army. I was like,
It's
all the same, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not clear. He's like, I'll pick infantry to suit you well, mate.
Yeah. Off you go, my friend. Yeah. So that was me. So like, that's basically how I ended up in the military because... Like I said, just one light bulb. I hadn't even thought about it.
Yeah. And then you were 2 weeks later and you were off to training.
Yeah, more or less. Well, it was a little bit longer than that, but it was literally flash to bang. It was like, lit the touch paper, down to the careers office, boom, before I know it, I'm on the train and I'm off up to Lichfield and I'm on the platform with everybody else, being picked up in a Ford Tanner.
Do you still remember your first day there?
I remember it for a really sad reason because I'd been sexually abused and the sexual abuser had followed me into Civvy Street. So everywhere I fucking went, this fucking lunatic turned up. Do you know what I mean? It was creepy. It was fucking horrible. And although the abuse stopped, it was always on the fringe of if he could have fucking got hold of it, he would have done like, do you know what I mean? So I'm like, Jesus Christ. And I remember as I got on the back of this Ford Tanner, didn't really think too much about it. I'm chatting to a lad, still a mate of mine now, Andy. I was speaking to Andy. We're chatting away on the Ford Tanner. He had this stupid pineapple haircut and I'm fucking laughing at him because I go, that's fucking coming straight off you. He dyed it red, the fucking idiot. I'm like, that's coming off you fucking idiot. Like, you know what I mean? And we was laughing about it. And I remember we turned, the truck slowed and we turned to go into the camp. I remember stopping, sort of like I could half see out the canvas and I see the gate go up. And it just had a fucking mental moment. I thought, when I get the other side of that gate, they're going to shut that. No cunt can get me. That fucking pedo, he's gone. He can't get on here. And for the first time in my life, I thought, I'm safe now and I can actually apply myself and do do what I want to do. Do you know what I mean? Without fear of people fucking chasing me. Do you know what I mean? So that was it. So I felt completely safe. So it was a really big thing for me. And then the second thing I noticed as I looked around camp was how fucking clean it was. Yeah. And I thought, this camp don't clean itself. That's my fucking job. Do you know what I mean?
That's some high IQ stuff there, mate. Yeah. Like, yeah, it don't clean itself.
Looking at the wombat shells like that, not knowing that, you know, they'd be above my head one day. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, mate.
Yeah, brilliant. We pulled up. I remember, and that's from then on. I remember all these other people, because I was already, in a way, institutionalised. So all the problems that other people had, like, oh, I don't want to be away from home. And there was a few lads, you know, quite upset about not going home and all that sort of thing. I don't give a fuck. I just wanted the next day to come like that. Yes. Next day, let's do something else. Come on, let's go. Do you know what I mean? I loved it. Absolutely fucking loved it.
Oh, brilliant. Do you remember the day you got your uniform?
I remember the day I got my uniform. I remember the smell of the fucking storeroom as you went in there. Like, do you know what I mean? And I remember all these bags. Just all your stuff was in bags. You know what I mean? And you could put another bag in bags. Like, fucking walking out of it like that. Do you know what I mean? And then going back to the room, unpacking it all. And looking at it going, fucking, that's all mine.
It's a big moment, isn't it, when you see that green kit and you're like...
In your boots and all
this,
that.
Oh, wow, this is mine. This is I've earned my place to be here. Even though it's only training, it's surreal, isn't it?
It's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. I loved it. It's the whole thing for me, the whole experience. I remember going down, so on about the second day, I think you went down, and there was a geezer there, used to cut everybody's hair. Richest man in the world, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Driving a Jag and that, do you know what I mean? Fucking does everyone. Everybody gets the same fucking haircut. Yeah. And then everybody buys the same soap, there's the same boot brushes.
Yeah.
Even though he was told to bring all that stuff, you buy it again, don't you? Yeah. There you go, there's your stuff. Right, that's no good to you, that stuff, that's the this stuff you need. Like, you know what I mean? And you got no choice but buy. You signed for it, didn't you?
Yeah.
You got an AR payment.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh, mate, we need a new business venture now, don't we?
Mate, we need to be on the camp. Do you know what? On a serious note, I have said that, and I said this at the highest fucking level in the military, those fucking shops that they've got on camp now rip the fucking blokes off. You've got wives feeding at a fucking food banks, and these fucking greedy bastard shops are charging over the fucking odds because we've got a fucking location which is hard to get to. No, you've got a fucking prime location where if it's fucking treated properly, you've got an unrelenting fucking pursuit of fucking people coming through there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So you greedy bastards. And I spoke to the Army Field Sergeant Major about it, right? And he went, yeah, it's fucking £7 for a cup of coffee. I said, I don't know what you can do about it. You're the fucking people that can do something about it.
Yeah, you're the ones that can
next
do something.
Next time that their fucking tender comes up, make sure that the people that go in there are fucking competitive or can fuck off. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you're listening, that's it. Get those greedy bastard spa shops and all the rest of it out of there. And that's litigating against spa, I'm sorry. All right? But it's right, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
It is.
Greedy bastards.
Yeah. How many times we've not had contracts go through or we've lost
stuff. And do you know what? From a PR perspective for the lads, if they knew that the army had basically fucking gone, right, I'll tell you what, we've done this, we've managed to get you a decent deal in the fucking shop. What a coup for the fucking lads, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What a fucking coup. What an easy win.
Yeah.
What a fucking retention fucking trap.
Literally,
you know what I mean?
To be like,
there you go,
oh,
we've made your life a bit easier.
I just want
to
know, but
your wife ain't got to go to a food bank now.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
But we'll stick to something
anyway,
like
£5
flapjacks in there and, yeah.
It's bullshit. It's absolute bullshit.
Yeah.
I've even thought about setting up a mobile fucking shop that just undercuts, and they're just going parking outside. Going parking outside the fucking place. You know what I mean? There you go. Loaves of bread in here, 50p. In there, £1.80. There you go. In New York, all day long.
Mad.
You know what I mean? You clean up, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Oh, mate, hard. Remember we had it, and no one wanted to buy a shop and they had a fallout. So our Scrooge marched us out of Carrick down to the local Tesco's, and we went and did our shopping there. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
So they put us first. And we're like, you know, young lad, I don't know what money is. Cheers, that's wage.
Yeah,
that's loads, like £800 a month. Cheers, mate. That's...
Yeah, good money. Did you still used to get credits in that at the end of the year? So you got credits. So we got paid cash.
Yeah, we got paid cash.
You got paid cash. It's the marching. Rupert would give you your fucking money, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the end of the time, because they only gave you a certain amount, didn't they? So at the end of your training, you had a little bit, didn't you?
Yeah.
Which went straight down my neck first time I went on leave.
But as soon as you got no money and then you suddenly got money and freedom and no expenses...
No expenses.
Why would you?
That's another thing.
You're the richest man in the world.
Yeah.
All
your food was taken care of.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it was great because in that period that I'd been a civvy, the 2 years that I'd sort of like done the YTS, I used to sneak into allotments and steal potatoes because I just didn't have the money. Do you know what I mean? I didn't have the money. I still wanted to go out. So the sacrifice was, well, I can get potatoes there. I'd live on fucking chips. Like, you know what I mean? Of stolen potatoes.
Yeah.
But now I'm getting fed three times a day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And all right, sometimes you only get enough time to put it in a piece of bread and rank down a clacker, but that's fine, mate.
Yeah.
I didn't care.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
That's brilliant.
Fed three times a day. Fucking hell.
How did your screws find you, like, in training? Like, this guy that's like that. Why are you so happy? Why are you enjoying
this? I don't know. Do you know what? I gravitated. So the guy that was deemed as the worst person to have, a guy called Vern, because everyone else was pretty chill compared with Vern. I was in Vern's section. Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? But it did me the biggest favours, because Vern was, and I know Vern now. He ended up as a colonel in the Australian Army. And I would tell anybody alive that he became my role model in life, because I'd never seen a man before.
Yeah.
My old man wasn't a man. He was a big fat bully. Do you know what I mean? The school teachers I've come across, well, they weren't men. Even the guy at Calshot, when he gave me the opportunity to go and join the army, he was like an apple. It wasn't like me. So this guy, this was achievable to me, because I looked at him, he was a full screw. He had a military medal, had been flat-packing people in Northern Ireland, absolute fucking legend, loads of war stories, do you know what I mean? And he was fucking hard as fuck. And I thought, I want to be like you, because he was fair as fuck as well. Do you know what I mean? If you were good, you got a pat on the back. If you was fucking bad, you got a pat in the face. Do you know what I mean? So, simple as that. Do you know what I mean? And you knew where you stood with this geezer.
Yeah.
You absolutely knew where you stood. He was a fucking great guy. He really was. And I still say, if he walked in now, I'd probably stand up, like, do you know what I mean? Because that's the impact he had on me. And I just wanted to be like him. I looked at him, he was a Stafford. He'd done loads of stuff. He wasn't feared by people, but they knew where they stood with him. And every time I looked at him, I thought, fucking hell, I want to be like him. Do you know what I mean? He was a fucking geezer, a proper geezer. I always say he was the first man I ever met, or the first man that I ever sort of like had contact with and sort of like wanted to become like. Do you know what I mean? Because he was everything a soldier should be. He was a good soldier. He was a fair man. And like I say, if you fucked up, you got a pat somewhere else. You know what I mean? That's how he was. Good. That's how he operated. You knew where you stood.
And arguably how the army should be, you know?
I think that's exactly how it
drills you
be,
into, you know what I mean? Right place, right time, right kit, doesn't it? You know, you understand discipline, you learn your place, and it makes good soldiers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did have a roll around with Vern on one occasion, because I absolutely carted him off, and he come fucking weighing into me, like, do you know what I mean? And I remember fucking, I'd done like this little sort of like half hip throw on him, like, do you know what I mean? From the days when I did judo. And he went over, but he fucking pulled me over. And I was like, the screws pulled him off me, like, do you know what I mean? I was like, fuck it off. And I ran off. It's the only time I was trying to phone my fucking sister, my adopted sister. I was like, come and get me. I've got to get out of here, like, do you know what I mean? I was like, and I fucking cried my eyes out. I was like, oh no, I fucked it off. And like, but he was so fair, he came back, he went, yeah, fair play to you. He went, fucking stood your ground. You know what I mean? But then he saw, like, wait, we went too far.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh God. So I got the payback for it. Like,
yeah, you know what I mean? What was the outcome from that? What happened?
Just a massive bollocking. Massive bollocking. You know, you're the one who's going to be carrying the tea urn and picking everything up for a few days. And it was dusted. It was done. It was spent. Do you know what I mean? It didn't linger on it. Didn't sort of like bring it up at every opportunity.
Yeah, certainly brilliant didn't. Leadership.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. What a fucking proper case. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Rather than, because some would use that against you, like, oh, you got a one up on
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
that,
no, I'm no, no. Your life. Absolutely fair. Yeah. You know, to the point that I think he almost admired me for standing my ground to the point that I did. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm like, fuck you. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, no, I'm right on this one. And what it was, and I can tell you what the argument was now, right? So we'd done this run, right? With your belt kit on.
Yeah.
And when I came back, I'd picked up his skillet arms webbing, which was obviously lighter than his running webbing, but I thought it was his running webbing. So I went, fucking hell, lads, look at this. Fucking shite. Anyway, he went, fucking mad. He went absolutely fucking mad. But in my own mind, I was like, no, because I genuinely thought he'd run in this set of webbing here because they look fairly similar. Yeah. So I'm fucking going, no, you fucking black guy. So he's going, anyway, I'll tell you what the punishment was now, and I remember it. So the punishment was he gave me his webbing, his running webbing, which weighed more than mine. It genuinely did weigh more than mine. And he went, no, fuck it. He goes, you're around that fucking square till you drop, you twat. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, he was barking from the middle of the sky. Keep going. I'm like, and I had this weapon on him. And it didn't fit me because he was a lot bigger than me. Like, do you know what I mean? So it was slopping about on my back. I'm like, fucking hell. And he kept me going around this square. Do you know what I mean? Until I sorry, mate. I'm telling you. Yeah, it was funny. Yeah, fucking great bloke. But it was done. It was spent. That was it. Done. Right, get yourself away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was it. Done.
And how was your relationship with him after that?
Fine.
Back to normal?
Just went back to normal. Just went back to how it was. You've done you fucked up. You've done your time. You fucking crack on. Tomorrow's another day.
Have you got any more good stories from training?
The one that I do say to people is I got best improved recruit, but it was only a couple of years ago that somebody pointed out to me that that basically means you was a wanker when you turned up and they got you over the line. Like, do you know what I mean? I was devastated. I thought I'd done really well.
You were living it.
Yeah. Oh, mate, yeah. Most improved. Tell them best improved recruit. No, mate.
You're a bit special. We got you through just the last hour.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed training, like I say. And I have good memories of what we did. And, you know, we had some great nights out. We used to go down to Tamworth.
Yeah.
And there used to be these bottles of, like, I don't even know what it was. It was called Thunderbirds. And they were big old bottles. And you used to drink these bottles of Thunderbirds. I used to get so drunk. It was unbelievable. And you turn back at camp and you didn't care, did you?
No.
You know what I mean? You come back to camp, you're absolutely all over the place at 4 o'clock in the morning. And then the next day, you'd be out doing whatever you were doing.
Fittest alcoholics on the planet.
Yeah, it was insane. And it was almost encouraged. Do you know what I mean?
Right, it was.
Wednesday left. Why are you still in camp? Why are you not down to
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Smoke breaks as well. Roiking everywhere. Do you know what I mean? I smoked loads as a kid, like, do you know what I mean? It was one of my sort of like coping factors. Do you know what I mean? I used to always smoke. And it was crazy. And he was encouraged to smoke. Everything was a smoke break, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There you go for a smoke, Les. There you go for a smoke. Right, Les. 5 minutes. Have a quick smoke. You know what I mean? That was it, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
That's how it worked.
And it was, the amount the lads used to smoke and drink and to still be able to perform the next day was...
Mate, when I think how fit I was, you know, pre-selection, where I could do a Brecon 2-miler in about 12 and a half minutes and, you know, I smoked and drank then.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I could probably smoke and drink the night before I did that as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was literally take off with my kit on, my boots on, and my rifle, my helmet, and be 12 and a half minutes for 2 miles. Boom, gone. See you later. Powerful. Do you know what I mean?
Powerful that is.
Fit as a butcher's dog.
You remember the day you passed out of training?
Yeah. I didn't have... So I had a sort of like a girlfriend on the go at the time, and she came up with her mother and father, I think. So I didn't have any family there because, I didn't have anyone like that.
Your adopted parents didn't come down for it?
You know, I think my adopted mother turned up, but I still didn't really massively get on with her then. Do you know what I mean? It was funny. Yeah, I think they brought her and then they left and I made my own way home because they only had room in the car for them. So they turned up and I said, best improved recruit and all that sort of stuff. And I remember you had to march out and I fucked up my salute, like, do you know what I mean? I was like, generally that cemented the fucking deal. He definitely is a wanker, like, do you know what I mean? Yeah, it was funny. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant, mate.
And that was it. And got your photographs, didn't you? Got your photographs, stuffed your thing, and off you went. And I went back to this girl's house because I didn't have anywhere to live at the time, really, other than my mother's house, which was, I didn't want to go to my mother's house. So I went back to this girl's house with my sausage bag and my fucking green bag and my fucking photographs and all that sort of stuff. Do you know what I mean? Pitched up at her house, rearranged my kit, went to Tibworth. That was it. I remember the first day turning up at Tibworth and I got a bollocking straight off the bat. I got a bollocking because they was having a muster parade and they said, right, you're falling after the muster parade. So I thought, right, fuck that, I'm going around the back for a smoke then. So I went around the back for a smoke. I'm having a smoke. Fuck me. Then someone comes around and said, no, you should have been on the muster parade. Then I got a bollocking, you know, on my first day.
First day of battalion.
First day. Got screamed at. And I remember there was a storeman called Dobbin. And he was called Dobbin because he was fucking, he looked like a fucking horse and he was huge and he was built like a fucking, he could fucking lift MFO boxes and throw them, like, do you know what I mean? And he was like a 20-year Lance Jack, like, do you know what I mean? He'd never gone anywhere, but everybody respected Dobbin, like, do you know what I mean? And Dobbin got me in the store and he went, Mark, you know, you're a fucking idiot. Do you know what I mean? He goes, right, screw the fucking nut. He goes, I'll smooth it over for you with Gilly, who was my platoon sergeant. Yeah, he was all right, Dobbin was. Fucking Dobbin.
Was that again put to bed after that then, like turn up to battalion?
Yeah, pretty much.
Been on your
muster parade. Pretty much. We had, battalion. The battalion was, we didn't have a lot on. They'd just come back. It was a weird time for me to join. So they'd literally just done a tour of Northern Ireland and it had been quite a busy tour. It was down in South Armagh. So it was bandit country, like, do you know what I mean? So everybody thought there was fucking alley as fuck, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you turn up. And of course, you're the only one. They have the medals parade. You don't get a medal. Like, you know what I mean? Everybody's got a medal apart from you. Like, fucking hell. You know, it's worked on.
Just remind us what year this was.
87, I think. 87 or 88. Yeah, wasn't it? 87. It would have been 87, yeah. So, yeah, everybody had a medal. I never. And every conversation was, anyway, shut up because you ain't got a medal. Like, leave me alone.
Character building.
And we was in Tibworth at the time. And I remember you had the Queen's Barracks here and you had us here and there was a path went down to the spa shop, and you used to get sent every day down to the spa shop. And the Queens lads used to fucking plink you with fucking air rifles as you run down the thing. Like, you know what I mean? So literally, it's a fucking hard target to the fucking shop to do the bun run every fucking day. Like, do you know what I mean? Fucking my platoon sergeant, Gilly, it started off with Gilly, and then I'd tell you, and they go, champion, right, bun run, fucking off you go. Like, do you know what I mean? Get all the fucking, yeah. get all your money and go and pay for it. Like, do you know what I mean?
yeah, literally. Yeah, if you go pick up my food and bring me my change.
Yeah.
Oh, corporate, you didn't give me any money.
Yeah. But no, it was good. We didn't do a lot in those early days. Northern Ireland was looming, 2-year tour of Northern Ireland coming up in Londonderry. In between time, we did an exercise in Kenya. We did an exercise in Denmark. We did the firefighting thing down in South Wales. We went and took over from the firefighters who went on strike. Joke, absolute joke. Just battalion life then, do you know what I mean? There wasn't loads on, but there was always something coming.
Yeah. And enjoying life still in the army now?
Yeah, it was all right. I enjoyed it. Rifle company was, I didn't want to be anything other than in a rifle company.
Yeah.
Didn't even really particularly want rank ever, like, do you know what I mean? I liked it in the rifle company. I liked being a soldier and I liked just fucking, do you know what I mean? Yeah, enjoyed it. It was all right.
But you did start getting rank and you started.
Yeah, well, I lost it the first time. I've been busted from, I think, full screw to Tom twice or something like that. My stripes always went on Velcro, like, do you know what I mean? They never stayed up for long.
First time you got bust, what happened?
The first time I got bust was for fighting downtown. The story of the busting that really was full screw to Tom was I was in the Falkland Islands and we basically were doing like a Rawlmont tour there. And on the first day I got there, I got steaming at the Naffy and there's a series of corridors to go back to. The main building is like a series of corridors, so you don't have to go outside because it's cold. So there's like miles and miles of these corridors. And I was steaming and I got lost in the corridors on the way back to where we lived. And sort of like the further down you go, the worse it gets. And the infantry are right down the bottom, like, do you know what I mean? You'd almost be advised to go down there in pairs, like, do you know what I mean? It's ridiculous. So I remember I pissed in the corridor and I got caught by this RMP or RAF copper, I think he was. And I was like, all right, fair cop, nice one. I'll go and get a mop and clean it up. No, you won't. I'm charging you. I said, what the fuck are you charging me for? Like, do you know what I mean? Why would you charge me when I've offered to clean it up? No. So I got fined £500. So I had the fucking hump from day one with this geezer, right? And anyway, there used to be a little nightclub called Timmy's. And we went to Timmy's for a drink. And I stood outside in the queue. And there was a fucking guy in front of me pissing around. And I knew he wasn't going to get in because he was too drunk. And he was just annoying everybody, like, do you know what I mean? So eventually it got to the stage where he's turned around and said something to me and I've headbutted him. Bump, straight in, bang, have that. Someone screamed. The police have turned up because they were never far because it was only a small place.
Yeah.
The police have turned up. Hey, presto, it's the same geezer that lifted me for having a piss. So I'm on the back foot straight away going, hey, fuck it. You know what I mean? Anyway, so they've said to me, right, get in the vehicle. And I kept trying to push me about. And I said, right, leave me alone and I'll get in your van and you can lock me up, do what you got to do. But just leave me alone. Don't touch me. Leave me alone. So eventually I get in the van. I'm sat in the back of the van. As we get out of the van, again, he goes to touch me. I said, don't touch me. I'll go in your interview room. Just leave me alone. Right? I get out. I walk in the interview. And as I walked in the interview room, he like pushed me. And there was a chair. There was a desk and there was a chair in front of it and a chair behind. And as he pushed me, I fucking landed on the chair. I picked the chair straight up. Boomf. Have that. Get out. Looked at the bloke behind the desk, went to go around the back of the desk. He's already gone. He's like, no, I'm not having this, right? Do you know what I mean? So as he's gone out the door, I've locked it, right? So now I'm in their duty room. I've locked the door, right? Yeah. I've locked the door. I'm like, all right, fuck this. Desk straight up against the fucking door, right? Okay. Then I'm sort of like, there was a weapons cabinet in there. I'm thinking to myself, I've got to arm myself, staying in. I'm fucking like, pissed. I'm like, no, I've got to. Anyway, couldn't open the fucking thing for the weapons. But I'm like, fuck them, they're mine anyway. So I then start rooting about for something to defend myself with. Right?
I like a little bit closer, Phil.
Sorry. I then start rooting about for something to defend myself with because in my own mind, they're going to come in mob-handed, right?
Yeah.
So there's like a hanger thing. There's like a thing where they've obviously put their jackets during the day and there's a load of wire coat hangers. So I get these wire coat hangers and I'm wrapping them around my hands with like little spikes hanging out each end. So I've got these on my hands, right? And I then get the chair and I've sat there. In the meantime, I've pissed on their occurrence book. I'm smoking. I'm fucking flicking ash all over the fucking place. They're looking in through the windows going, no, come on, fucking private, get yourself out of there. You're in, like, yeah, Yeah, I was a full screw. And they go, get yourself out of there, Corporal. Do you know what I mean? You're in trouble now, but you know, we can all be sorted. I'm going, ah, fuck off. Like, do you know what I mean? Anyway, I keep their duty room under my control till about fucking 7 o'clock in the morning. All fucking night. Why
the fuck? How did you go in there?
Oh, fucking hell. It would have been about 10 o'clock at night. So I'm in control. Eventually they go away and there was a Royal Marine lieutenant attached to us. And I got on quite well with him. So they must have thought, right, who's going to sort this out? He came down. He's like, oh, here's this tap on the window. Phil, you've had your fun. Do you know what I mean? It's about time. I said, I'm not coming out, sir. I said, they're going to have me if I come out. He said, no one's going to hurt you. He said, no one's going to have you. He says, we're going to remove you from here and we're going to take you down to a place called Mare Harbour. So I said, right, so long as these cunts come nowhere near me, I said, I'll come out. Do you know what I mean? He's right, get rid of the wire. Do you know what I mean? So I take this fucking wire off your knuckles. Out I go, right? And they took me to Mare Harbour. And anyway, the deal was I had to go on orders and I knew I was going to get bussed. And when I got bussed, they were going to send me back. And they said, right, in between times, you're not allowed up to the main camp and they're not allowed down to Mare Harbour. And I wasn't having that because I was seeing some girl up at the camp. I thought, I'm going to at least go and see her before I go. So I snuck up to the camp and got another fucking great tear up. Anyway, by the time I actually got on the plane in handcuffs. They put me in handcuffs and put me on the plane. And they flew me out of there. They let the handcuffs off at Ascension. When I got back to Ascension, right, this is a bizarre story. And people would probably go, no, this couldn't have happened. Right? When we got to Ascension, the coppers who'd come from the Falkland Islands to escort me got off the fucking plane, unlocked the things, handed me over and went fuck off. They hadn't told people what was going on with me. So when I got on the next plane, I'm just a punter. I'm like that now. I'm on the next plane. I'm just a punter. When we get the prize, they know even less. So I get the prize Norton. I'm like, well, where's my lift? Where am I supposed to be going? My battalion had just amalgamated, so nobody knew anything.
Yeah.
There was people all over the place. There was people in the Falklands. There was people here. There was people there. So the whole battalion was a mess. I thought, fuck this, I'm going home. So I went home. Right? I just went home. I left. I got a lift to the fucking main gate. I went home, right? Then I didn't have a home to go to, so I went to my sister's house. I told her what had happened. I said, look, I've been in a bit of trouble. I said, but I'm not going back. I said, I'm fucked. I'm having some time out. So I said, can you do me a favor to my sister? She was really posh spoken. I said, do me a favor. I said, phone up the adjutant. I said, I'll give you the number. So what military is saying, phone. Just tell him that I've had some real problems at home and I'm staying at home for a bit. So she did, phoned up the adjutant, right? I think it was a guy called Smith. Phoned him up. And he went, well, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, yeah, just give us as much time. Because he didn't really know what was going on because nobody had back-briefed anybody properly because it was just such a busy period. So he goes, no, just tell him to turn up when he turns up. Like, do you know what I mean? So I took 3 months off. 3 fucking months sat at home like that, fucking doing nothing, just enjoying myself, being paid, no charge, you know what I mean? Nothing, just fucking at home. Then I thought, right, I better go back because I'm getting bored now. So I went back. I walked into camp. I walked to the guard room. Yeah, it's a private campion. Oh, I thought he was a false screen. No, private campion. Right? Gets fucking taken up to the adjutant's office, this guy called Smith. Oh, you're back. Where's your stripes gone? I said, I've got Buster. Oh, right, okay. He said, what do you want to do? I said, all right. He had all the orbat on his wall, in his room. He goes, what do you want to do? I looked at the orbat. I said, I don't want to go back to the rifle company, sir. He said, all right. He said, which one? I said, where's a guy called Dale Allen? I said, where's Dale's platoon? He said, Dale's, number, I think it was 7 platoon or something. Goes, yeah, number 7. I go, stickers in that, boss. He goes, yeah, no problems. He says, they're over there. He says, get your kit. He says, they're in this block. Tell me the block was turned up. Dale was there. You're right. Fucking hell, Phil. Yeah, great mate of mine. Like, he's like, yeah, here you come. Give me a fucking room in there. Anyway. So I'm now in the platoon I want. No one's really switched on. Within a fucking few months, within a few weeks, actually, Dale pushes for me to get one stripe back because I'm already doing the fucking job. So he puts a case forward to the adjutant. I'll get one stripe back straight away, right?
Yeah.
Then we get a trip to Canada, right? And we've got this Russian trench system. We're clearing this Russian trench system. Unbeknown to me, the commander of 5 Airborne, a guy called Johnny Holmes, Brigadier at the time, Johnny Holmes, is watching my platoon go through this fucking Russian trench system, right? So I don't know he's behind me. He's just there, right? So I've got my platoon. We come under contact. So the demand advance to contact things. So I'm like, I'm giving out the orders of things. And what happened was the full screw who was meant to be doing it had gone sick. So I'm now leading my platoon, right? So I've got not the platoon, but I'm now leading my section.
Yeah.
So I've got the section. I've got them on the bund line. I put some supporting fire over here. We dive into the trench. And I look behind me and I see a clean pair of fucking combat trousers. Who's that stood up? So I literally fucking, I'm still looking this way, reached up, grabbed this fucking webbing belt, ripped this fucking twat into the fucking dirt, look at him. It's the fucking brigade commander, isn't it? Right? I'm like, fuck. So rather than panic, right, I go, sir, listen to me. Enemy, 300 metres that way. On the left. I said, I've got to give him a full fucking battle brief, right? I said, you're coming with me. Right? So I grab him and I bundle him through this fucking trench system. He's having a great time. I'm fucking putting him around corners. I'm when we get to the fucking grenade pit at the end, I'm like, right, grenade man, come here, that's you, to the fucking brigade commander. He's like, no, no, no. So I get him to post the fucking grenade, right? It goes in, boom, bang, off it goes. Fucking great day. He's had a great day. You know, brigadier, they don't get to do that stuff anymore, yeah. Do they? So he's just come through the Russian trench system. He's the grenade man, boom, and he fucking goes, fucking greatest day he's ever had. So when we come out of there, right, he says to the, he must have said to the CO, who's that? You know, he says to me, he goes, well done, corporal. I said, no, Lance Corporal. He said, Lance Corporal? He says, no, I'm not having that. I said, Lance Corporal, sir. Not on my watch, you're not. He says, you're doing the job. He said, well, I said, yeah, I'm section commander today. So yeah, I said, oh, it's been a long time coming, this one. So he made me up in the field. And he took the stripes to one of the RMP, one of the RPs, yeah. Had some stripes. He goes, right, give me the answer. Yes, he got the fucking battalion. Definitely promoted me in the field. The fucking CO is he's only just been bust, but he couldn't say it was like that. He was fuming. No, there like that. It's ripped. I had a fucking great hole in me combat.
Yeah.
Faces and shit, I'm cammed up. I've got my fucking helmet off on. I'm like that, chin straps undone. And I've got the fucking brigade commander giving me a fucking two stripes. He's just ripped off a fluff of one of the corporals.
Oh, mate, amazing.
I've got a photograph of it somewhere. I'd love to dig it out. There's a photograph of me because he made up a couple of other people, but they brought them in, they were all clean.
Yeah.
But I'm there in absolute shit order. And it was like an on the spot thing, like, do you know what I mean? That was funny.
And how long have you been bus for until you got that?
6 months. If that. Yeah, it was ridiculous. Flash to bang time. And don't forget, 3 months of that, I'll spend at home.
Yeah.
AWOL.
Get on full pay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible. And I tell that story and people go, no way. But it was the amalgamation. It just put so much, nobody knew what was happening. And I just completely took advantage of that. I was like, no, this is the best
time
that
you could
ever.
You never get away with that these days, could you? With social media and your phones now.
I think I would have been, for the actual what I did in the Falklands, I think I'd have been thrown out of the military.
Wow.
I don't think I'd have survived. Wow. You know, I held a police station overnight with fucking things wrapped around my knuckles. Do you know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
And then went AWOL for 3 months.
And then went AWOL for 3 months, yeah. Yeah. Came back to the battalion and had it off. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Oh, mate.
Yeah.
Was that a big highlight of your career? Like that before you badged in, like that's a pretty cool story. Turnaround from
I just so enjoyed. I was always in trouble. I there's so many stories I could tell you. Do you know what I mean? There were stories of me. Yeah, I remember we went on the piss one night, and it was always on the piss with me. Like, do you know what I mean? It's always on the piss, and it was a fancy dress night downtown, and I'd ended up around some girl's house, but I'd left my working dress there the night before, but I missed the muster parade, and I'd gone out as sooty, right? So I'd gone out in the evening as sooty, and I realised that I needed to get back on camp, but I didn't want anybody to see me getting on and who it was. So I'd be working dress on and this great big sooty head. And the RSM's yelling. He's going, stop. Who's that? Coming back on camp, like, obviously realising that I was fucking late. He's going, get here. And he yelled at you. Sooty, stop. I'm fucking hell. Yeah. Yeah, always in trouble. Always in trouble, mate. Yeah, I must have been a nightmare. I would have been a platoon nightmare, like, do you know what I mean?
But like guys like you, like, made the best soldier, didn't they?
I enjoyed it. I genuinely enjoyed it. You know, in the field, I couldn't do anything
and
wrong.
That's where it counts.
I couldn't do anything wrong in the field. I loved it. Do you know what I mean? If it was something to be done, if there was something we had, I'd volunteer for it all day. Do you know what I mean? I did my commando course, I did P Company, I did everything there was to be done. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? There's no more I could do. And all I wanted to do was be a soldier. That's all I wanted to do.
And was this love of soldiering what drove you towards Hereford and wanting to go on selection?
Again, that's another story there, because I was happy where I was, all right? And when we amalgamated, when I was, as Royal Hampshire, I was quite happy, right? When we amalgamated, I then did P Company, and I thought to myself, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, I'm going to try and transfer to Free Para, because I don't fancy this two-year tour of Omar that was coming up. Free Para staying in Dover. They're not an amalgamated regiment. There was a lot of sort of like shit at the time, you know, having to prove yourself again and all that, and I thought, well, I might as well just go and prove myself again somewhere like that and stay in the country. So Johnny Holmes, same bloke, right? Who didn't remember it was me, but he was still brigade commander. So I thought, well, I've met the brigade commander and I met him on P Company because he came down and watched our P Company. We all got badged. It was a big thing because there was 15 of us from the infantry all passing on the same day, all from the same unit. So he came down. So I thought, right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to fuck the chain of command. I'm going to phone the brigade commander and ask him if I can go to free para, right? So he gets back. I gets the fucking number off the company clerk. I phones up Johnny Holmes. I manages to get through to him, right? This is incredible. I managed to get through to the grade commander as a fucking full screw, right? So I get through to him. I say, right, it's Corporal Campion, sir. I said, you might remember me. You saw me on P Company. And he's playing along with it. He's going, yes, yes, yes. Well, what do you want, Corporal Campion? I said, right, I want to transfer to free para, sir. Okay. He must have been thinking, who the fuck is this idiot like? Do you know what I mean? He's going, yes, yes, soldier, of course you can. Yes, yes, I'll arrange that. What battalion are you? Second battalion, the Princess of Wales Royal Regiment, yeah. Literally put the phone down, right? Thinking to myself, right, I'll go back to the block now. He'll make the phone call. I'll be transferring next week. Goes back to the block and I heard this fucking, Campion! Oh, they must have fucking called already, right? So I goes walking up. Why are you walking? Double in. Adjutant wants you fucking now. This is the RSM yelling at me. I'm like, oh, okay, right. It might not have gone as well as I thought then, right? So I goes upstairs. The adjutant was the same guy, Smith.
Yeah.
He goes, you fucking idiot. He goes, what did you do that for? I said, what? He said, phone the brigade commander and try and transfer out his regiment. I said, well, because that's what I want to do, sir. He said, there's a chain of command around here, you fucking idiot. So he starts having a go at me. I goes, I haven't got time for this, sir. I said, what's happening? Am I going or not? There's me and another guy called Daisy May. Both basically put this thing together ourselves, right? Do you know what I mean? So Daisy's up there as well with me. So he goes, the CO wants to see you. So we march into the CO's office. Barry's on because we're not in trouble at this stage, right? And PWR Berry's on, and he stands up behind a desk, and it was a guy called, he was Colonel Newton, a lovely guy, but very harsh. He ended up as a Major General. Very, very, very clever fucking bloke. Really nice. I've got a lot of time for him. But he's behind his desk, and he starts giving me a fucking loyalties lecture. You soldiers should be loyal to the Princess of Wales's Royal Regiment. I said, well, me, sir, for one, I said, I'm a fucking Royal Hampshire. I took this berry off my head, and I fucking threw it at him. Big mistake. He fucking lit. It was like lighting a fuse. He fucking lit up. He's screaming now. So he goes, get out of my fucking office. Go and see the fucking RSM. And before I could get to the RSM's office, there was a guy called Major Egan. Now, he'd done P Company, and I think he'd been the Pathfinder platoon commander for a bit. He was a fucking lovely guy, airborne, used to wear his red beret. Fit fucking bloke, lovely bloke. He goes, get in here, you fucking idiots. Right? So he grabs me in his office, slams the door behind us. And then he goes, calm. He goes, what did you do that for, Phil? Because he was quite a jewel. He goes, what did you do that for, Phil? He goes, you fucking idiot. He goes, you've reached your ceiling in an afternoon. He said, you are doing nothing here now. He said, you're going to get nuts. He said, you fucked yourself. He said, the way I see it, he says, you've got two choices. He said, Civvy Street. He said, or Special Forces Selection. He goes, what's it going to be? I said, well, I'll do Special Forces Selection. So I'll go out. Still got the RSM's bollocking, obviously, like, do you know what I mean? He screams at me for about 20 minutes. I'm like, oh. Do you know when your face goes, but, right? So I goes out and put my paperwork in as properly. Go on my interview for SF selection. The CEO goes, no, you're not going. I'm like, for fuck's sake, 1 minute you don't want me, like, the next minute you're saying I can't fucking go. He said, no. He said, I see you as one of my better soldiers. He said, we've got a 2-year tour of Northern Ireland coming up and I want you in my cop platoon as a patrol commander. He said, and you're going to do that. Got no fucking choice, though. You couldn't argue against an operational tour. So I said, okay, sir, will you let me go on selection after that? He said, yes. He said, if you give me your fucking work, he said, I'll let you go on selection after that. So I said, all right, fair. So we at Northern Ireland, I went. Anyway, the ceasefire hit after about 12 months and I got the message going down the chain of command. If Campion wants to go on selection, he can go on the next one, which was going to be the winter of whatever year it was. And I'm like, fucking hell, don't give me a lot of time to get ready. But because I always kept myself fit anyway, I just upped it a little bit, did a bit of hill walking, got myself to the stage where I was ready to go and went. But it was, it was, that's why I ended up going, because I'd never planned on going on SF selection, didn't really know too much about it, had obviously seen troopers about in Northern Ireland and seen a few things. But you almost got led to believe it was out of your reach. And this is one of the things I try and tell young people now. If you want to go for it, go for it. Because when you get to my age, and I get loads of blokes at my age turn around and go, oh, I wish I'd done selection. Well, it's too late now, you fat cunt. You know what I mean? You should have gone ages ago. You fucked it now, haven't you? Yeah. So young people, If you want to go, don't be told. Because you're going to hear from people who failed who are going to go, fucking hell, it was impossible. Oh, dear, they made me carry 50 jerry cans up a hill and tow a lorry and I had to... No, they didn't. You failed because you failed. For whatever reason, you failed, but you failed. And it's 9 times out of 10, it's your fault you failed because you couldn't be, you didn't have it in there. Yeah. You know what I mean? So don't put people off. So I always try and encourage young people to want to do it. A, do it as quickly as possible because the earlier you do it, the more time you get in the regiment. And B, don't be put off by other people because other people aren't going to tell you the truth when it comes to, they're going to cover their own failings by making it sound harder than what it is. And that put me off because there was one guy in particular, and I won't say his name because it wouldn't be fair, but he was always telling us how hard it was. He'd failed 3 times. He was like, no, it's actually... And I actually thought to myself before I went, am I making the right move here? Because in my eyes, he was a sergeant. I thought, if he'd failed it, fucking hell, what chance have I got? Like, do you know what I mean? But I didn't... I just thought... because of the situation that I was in, I thought, I've got to go anyway. So I'm going, do you know what I mean? That's what I'm going to do, I'm going. And there's no way I'm failing because if I fail, I'm out of the army. Because if I come back here, I'm fucked. So it's sort of like, it was one of those things where it was a catch-22. I'm going and I'm definitely passing. And I knew in my own mind before I went, I was going to pass. I had no illusions under in my own mind. I'm fucking passing. There's no chance I'm coming off this course. None whatsoever. And I did pass first time.
And how was it? Is there any standout moments you had during selection?
So on the very, this is really funny. So on the very first day, I drove down to Brecon and a mate of mine was supposed to be coming down with me and he was supposed to pick me up. So I'd taken my car off the road and hadn't taxed it, right? So he phones me up on that day and says, Phil, I'm not going. I'm like, for fuck's sake, I haven't got a taxed car. It wasn't like then days when you can do it online.
Yeah.
I didn't have a tax disc for my car. So I got an old tax disc that I'd had. Yeah. So I like mashed it up a bit, shoved it in my car and drove. I got pulled within fucking 5 minutes of being outside of fucking Balfour, right? I got pulled. He pulled me over. So I whipped this disc off because I knew that was worse than being done for no disc, was being done for fraud, right?
Yeah.
So whipped that off, put it in the thing. He fucking said, you haven't got a tax disc. That's what I've pulled you, blah, 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 blah. Gave me a court date for about 2 weeks into the fucking hills. Right, so I know that now I'm going to be on the hills and I've got a court date and I'm not going to be able to fucking swerve it, right? So I'm thinking to myself, what the fuck can I do about this? So I go to the DS and I tell them I've got a fucking really bad dose and I'm going to have to go to Salisbury to sort it out because that's where the doctor is. So I managed to get fucking time off to go and get this fucking dose sorted out, right? This imaginary dose, right? They take pity on me. It was one of those mornings where there wasn't loads on. So I was out later in the afternoon. So as long as I went early enough and I could get myself back, they didn't care. So I pitch up in Salisbury, ready to go to court. I go to court to defend myself because I haven't got money for a lawyer or time for a lawyer. So I think, and I don't want to get found guilty. So I plead not guilty, right? So I defend myself. So the driver that came down with me from Hereford, he's in the audience, like, oh, I'll fucking see how this works out for him. Like, you know what I mean? I'm pacing up and down like Poirot, like this. I put it to you. So, and I cross-examine this copper, right? And I basically go along the lines, if you said I didn't have a tax disc, but I did, why did you stop me? And he said, well, I stopped you because I couldn't see a tax disc. I said, well, that's different to not having a tax disc. I did have a tax disc, I said, but it had fallen off the screen and it was on the floor. But you never asked me. You just pulled me. Anyway, I managed to swing it around. I get away with it. Unbelievable. Whatever it was, the powers that be went, no, he did have a tax disc. I said, I did have a tax disc. Yes, I did. And you couldn't prove it online in them days. Anyway, goodness, you either had it or didn't have it.
Yeah.
So he's like, the copper got himself all muddled up, got himself confused. I made him look even more confused. He didn't expect me to cross-examine him the way I did. I said, I'll pay something down like that. You know, we're going, all right, I put it to you, sir, on the third date that you couldn't see properly from where you were. So how do you know I didn't have a tax test? You pulled me. And he's like, I put it all over him, right? So I get away with it. This fucking driver's like, Jesus Christ. He's like, and I said, look, mate. I said, please don't tell him that I've been to court.
Yeah.
As I walk out of court, and I swear, as I walk out of court, right, I'm in my fucking suit, okay? I walk out of court, on the steps of the court, my commanding officer from PWRR, Major General Newton, Colonel Newton at the time, is stood on the steps shopping in fucking Salisbury, right? I'm like, ugh. And as I go to sort of like swerve him, Corporal C, how are you? I'm like, oh, all right, sir. He said, I thought you were on selection. I said, I am. I said, we're doing some covert work around town. I said, I'm going to have to go. So I walk off. I'm like, fucking hell. I get back to camp and I crack on as normal. Nothing's ever said about it until about 6 months later. I've passed selection.
Yeah.
And I'm in the interest room and a letter turns up from the RMP. And they've had the fucking civvy courts in touch with them. telling them that I'd been to court, and they fucking grasped me up, the bastards, and said, I've got a bollocking. I've got another bollocking off the CEO at the time. And he's like, fucking, you should have told us and all that sort of stuff. But I was like, look, sir, how could I? Like, do you know what I mean? I was like, anyway, give me the benefit of the doubt. Yeah.
Fucking. So this is just after you passed the lecture as well.
Yeah, not far. Literally, I was on the counter-terrorism team.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, I got pulled in on orders.
Could that have been as bad as like, right, back to PWRR? It
probably could have been, yeah, because at the time, you're on probation anyway. So for your first year, when you pass the lecture on your probation, so he probably would have been well within his rights to go, I'll tell you what, not having that, you're a fucking idiot. You know what I mean? I'll see you later. So, yeah. Yeah, it's just like that. You know, you just think, right, I've done that. And then all of a sudden it resurfaces again. You go, oh no.
Shit. Mate, stand up guy, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. So, yeah, that was it. But, you know, I was in the regiment, early days, great time, straight on the counterterrorism team. Not loads of work coming in, but we did, you know, we were doing these things in Bosnia where I can't get too far into them, but you'd go over to Bosnia and you'd do PIFWIC's, person wanted, indicted for war crimes, and you'd go and arrest them and that, you know what I mean? And they were good little jobs because they'd all be lined up and you'd turn up on scene, you'd go rip them out of their houses or pull them out of their beds or, do you know what I mean? It'd be fucking great, you'd go and arrest these people. And you'd set them up and it'd be, you know, the whole 9 times out of 10, it would take quite a few guys. It'd be well planned things. So they were good little operations, do you know what I mean? And then we had Stansted as well. So we had the Stansted plane jacking when that came over from Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And that was all right. We never got the sort of like end result that we wanted, which was to get on board and get amongst it. But everything leading up to that, you know, the recces, the food drops, all the stuff that you'd sort of like practiced, we did for real. And it was great. That was my first real sort of like operation where I came face to face with a terrorist, actually face to face on the steps of the back of the plane with a fucking terrorist, like, you know what I mean? Which was great. I was like, fucking, this is brilliant, you know what I mean? It was fucking, and you know, you got a sniper over your shoulder, like, you know what I mean? So I'm actually trying to wind this bloke up to do something because I'm thinking, I just want to see the back of your head on the back of that plane, like, you know what I mean? It was brilliant, you know what I mean? I loved it. It was great. I did 2 or 3 recces on the bottom of the plane and all that sort of stuff. And I did a couple of food drops. So like I say, when you did the food drop, you literally handed the food over to the terrorist, like, do you know what I mean? He'd be on the bottom and said, his eyes would be under his little balaclava like that. You could see he was absolutely bricking himself. His hands would be shaking, like, you know what I mean? And I'm trying to wind it up. I'm trying to wind up because I know that if he kicks off, I'm on. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm on. Yeah. You kick off, mate. I am coming on. You know what I mean? Yeah. The whole team. Because every time he went out, the team would be stacked up ready to go anyway. Yeah. So they would be ready to go. But the drill was, if it went off, you just deal with it as you can at the time and the team will catch up and it's like an emergency response to get on there and start flat packing people. And I was like, yes, I'll have some of that. So getting on the food run was a big thing because you thought you might just be able to tip the scales in your favour on this one. Like, do you know what I mean? Might be able to get a rise out of it. But as soon as I got a rise, I'm on it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, brilliant. So, It didn't, no, they all walked off peacefully, much to the disgust of the squadron. Like, you know, we put a lot of time and effort into that. And I was the MOE rep on that one as well. So there was me and another lad. We were going to be responsible for blowing the door off the front of it, which was a big old hefty charge. So we were going to knock the front door in. And then we'd sort of like manage to say, well, there'll be more doors inside. So we need to get on the plane as well. Like, do you know what I mean? So we need to be sort of like first in the stack to get into the cockpit and all those sorts of places. And they'd bitten on it. Like, oh, okay, right. Yeah, you'll be going. So I had a great job. I'd have been front center and smashing things. Like, do you know what I mean? I thought this is going to be the best day ever. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Anyway, they fucking walked off. They chickened it. But and that was that. So yeah, I had a, so we didn't do loads and loads. But we did a fair amount. Do you know what I mean?
Nice. And how was regiment life?
I enjoyed it. It was good life. You were left alone. If you weren't doing stuff, you were left alone. 9 times out of 10, you were doing stuff. But when you weren't doing stuff, they did leave you alone. And you were treated like an adult. And, you know, you had an opinion there. You were allowed to voice yourself and all that sort of stuff. So it was different to battalion life, where if there was nothing to do, they'd muster you just for the sake of mustering it.
Yeah.
You know, why have we done that? Well, because we can. You know
what I mean? Yeah,
there was none of that sort of stuff. You know, you had muster parades, but muster parades were in the interest room. You were sat round, you know, a table. You'd wait, the sergeant major would come in, everybody here. Sometimes, you know, we wouldn't even call the roll. It was just everyone here. Yeah. Or we'd just say, troop staff, you know, account for your blokes here, yeah. Because you never knew, you know, you never knew how the blokes would be on courses, blokes would be away, so they never knew who was there, do you know? They didn't care. They're like, all right, we're all here, right, okay, this is what we're doing this week, this is what you're doing today, or whatever. Like, you know, it's just such a chilled, it was a better atmosphere for me because it was more, how I wanted to be. Do you know what I mean? I didn't like the screaming and shouting. I didn't like the bullshit. I didn't like being on camp. I fucking certainly didn't like ironing my clothes and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? I didn't like all that sort of stuff. It wasn't me. I liked being in the field. I liked doing stuff.
And at any point, did you want it to get promoted? Or did you still have the same opinion?
No, I just wanted to be a trooper. I genuinely wanted to be a trooper. I know, you know, there is a sort of like natural progression, but I was put off that progression anyway because of, I was supposed to get my first tape after a year or so, and I never got that tape in the end. I was there for about 4.5 years, and I never got that tape because for one reason or another, I just had a series of incidents where I never got promoted. And yeah. I was quite happy about that. I didn't care. Do you know what I mean? Genuinely quite happy about that. I'd have stayed a trooper in a Sabre squadron until I could no longer physically operate. Do you know what I mean? That would have been me. I'd have been quite happy with that, you know.
And I suppose being in the regiment was the highlight of your military career.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Definitely. Although I do say, in terms of, you know, people go, what was the best moment of your military career? My best moment of my military career was going through that gate in the story I mentioned earlier, where I suddenly felt safe because I thought, no, this is, I can do stuff here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But no, I had some great times, you know, getting badged and, you know, some of the jobs that we went on. And obviously the Sierra Leone job, which is, you know, there's so much about that out there now. Do you know what I mean? But that was a big job. And that was one of my final things that I did, really. I then got in a bit more trouble. I PVR'd. I got out. Couldn't sort of like resolve the problems that I had and just got out. And to be fair, I was probably just staring down the barrel of being moved on anyway. Like, do you know what I mean? So I'm not. I think the only, on the last interview I had, the CO mentioned to me that the possibility I could have gone to the TA for a couple of years, which was 2-1 or 2-3, and maybe, you know, had a cool off period there. But for whatever reason, it never, and I didn't, I just thought coming from a Sabre squadron and then go there just wasn't me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Under that deal, if I'd have gone there as still being part of 2-2, then it would have been fine. But to go there and sort of like, it was a step backwards for me. And I obviously, this was 2000 before the towers went in, and I didn't have the foresight to think we were going to go to war for 15 fucking years, did I? Do you know what I mean? So yeah. I didn't know. I was like, you know, I genuinely didn't know. And I thought, you know, I'll get out. There's money to be made. Never had any money. I was always skint. And so I thought I'll get out and try and make some money and try and, you know, build a life. And that's what I did. Yeah. So that was me, really. I got out.
How was it marking time and then saying like, that's me done.
Because it was an abrupt finish. I was gutted, really. I was gutted. I was due to go on the counter-terrorism team for my third tour, I think. Obviously, the guys were getting ready for that and I was getting ready to go out, so I wasn't included on any of the training. And yeah, it was just, I just couldn't wait to fucking go in the end. I just wanted to go. I had a massive argument with one of the pay people before I went. Got in with the old Dolphin Vulcan death grip. Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was not the way I'd figured on ending my career, but it's, you know, I've always said to people, if you create a shit sandwich or you get dealt a shit sandwich, just choke the fucking thing down and move on, because, do you know what I mean? Lingering about lifting it up and smelling it and trying to pick the pieces out of it ain't going to work. Just fucking get it done and get on. Do you know what I mean? Because it's, you know, that's the way I do business. Do you know what I mean? I just, you know, if I realise what I've done, I realise that I've got to do something about what position I'm in, and I'll just go then. Do you know what I mean?
There's a lot to be said about that as well, isn't there? When you can just, you know, I've got a shit hand in life, whether it's for your own creation
or not. And you have to be honest, you have to own stuff when you do fuck things up. And I have fucked lots of things up, like, do you know what I mean? When you do fuck them up, just own it and move on. Do you know what I mean? Just get the best of you. And I've always said there's always a positive to be had from a negative, no matter what that is. And I always tell the story of when I was a very small child, my dad used to beat me. Dad beat me as well. He used to sit on my chest and hit me. And I'm only like that big, and someone my size is hitting me. And I remember this one time, I went limp. I thought I'm going to play possum. I went limp. And he stopped hitting me. He panicked. He thought he'd knock me out. And he got off. And so every time he hit me after that, I used to go limp. And he'd panic and get off. And I was controlling now.
Yeah.
I was controlling the fight, as it was. Do you know what I mean? Because I knew if I went limp, he'd get off. And that was a win. And that's one of the saddest wins you could probably ever have in your life, but it was a win. And from that day on, my attitude has always been, if I look down and I can still get air in my fucking lungs, I'm a go. Do you know what I mean? I can do something about it. Do you know what I mean? The day I can't look down anymore, or there is no air in my lungs, or, you know, and I've been to that point as well, where I've sort of like thought, this is absolutely over. There's nothing you can do. it's out of your capability then. But while there is something I can do and I can move and I can, you know what I mean, then I'm happy. I can do something about it.
And so you come out of the regiment,
yeah,
saying that you want to go and try and make some money, do something for yourself. What was it that you went to go and do?
Well, I'd heard about all these rich Arabs employing people as bodyguards and all that sort of stuff. And as luck would have it, I'd just done my bodyguarding course in the regiment. So I was current, I was qualified. But there was nothing. I got out and there was nothing. I literally got out on the 1st of September of the 2001. And then, like I say, the towers went in on the 9th.
Yeah.
And I realised that there was going to be some work to be had elsewhere. So I wasn't panicking, but there was a stage where I'd had no work whatsoever and I couldn't get a job, not even working doors and shit like that. Do you know what I mean? And I was running thin it was difficult. And like I say, the fact I had no qualifications and nothing I did in the military, I went down to the careers office, not the careers office, the job centre to get a crisis loan. I had no money left whatsoever. And I knew you could get these, but you had to fill in a load of forms and shit. And I remember, you know, I had to go for a job interview and the only job criteria that I matched in the whole area was a lollipop man in Margate. That was the only job that I was eligible to go for.
Yeah.
And I was going to have to go for an interview for this job. And anyway, another job came up in Afghanistan in between times and I didn't go, but I was like, fucking hell. I was staring down the barrel of going for a job interview for a lollipop man in fucking Margate because that was the only job I was qualified to do.
Being in the most like elite fighting regiment in the world,
didn't care.
A lollipop
didn't
man.
Didn't care. You know, I remember talking to this young girl behind the jump in the careers office and she's like, oh, what have you been doing for the last 10 years? I'm a steely-eyed bringer of death. I'm an underwater knife fighter. Am I fucking, you know what I mean? He's like, so what? You're a fucking idiot. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm like, what do you mean? I haven't heard of D Squadron. Who the fuck are D Squadron? Like, do you know what I mean? Jesus Christ. And it suddenly dawned on me, it's not worth a wank. It wasn't worth a wank. It wasn't worth nothing to these people. They didn't care. Civvies genuinely didn't care. It was like, so what? Do you know what I mean? It's like, and it was such a, because you'd always been sort of under the belief or lived this life where, you know, cat badges tell you you're the best parachute regiment in the great. You know, I'm a para. I'm a marine, You know, I was a Royal Hampshire. You know, you were proud of your cat badge. You thought you were the best. You knew you were the best. You were told you were the best half the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you get the civvy street. What the fuck are you?
What was that? Yeah. Yeah.
So what? Wings. Woo. Do you know what I mean? You have Red Bull, do you? No. Do you know what I mean? It's like, fucking hell. And I just, it was one of those things where it suddenly came to a juddering stop. Boom, no one cares. I'm going to have to sort myself out here. You know, no one cares.
Yeah.
No one gives a fuck. I'm blessed to have the following I have now because of what I've done. They are people that do care. But there a lot of the people in Civvy Street and a lot of people making decisions about you as an individual, like the job when you're on your bad times, couldn't give a shit who you are. Do you know what I mean? They genuinely don't.
Yeah. And since you moved on, you got a job in Afghanistan.
Yeah. Which was great. It was a great job. You know, I started off as 2IC of a security detail looking after the interests of a European embassy, which gave me all sorts of diplomatic privilege, access to assets. It was armed. It was a great fucking job. Do you know what I mean? We had a team of ambassadors that we looked after in the close protection role. We had gate guards at various locations, which we had to train. So we had a team of staff. We had drivers. Yeah, it was a great job. It was a really good job. Do you know what I mean? In fact, you know, you'd have been happy with it in the regiment. If there hadn't been if the other blokes weren't in caves mixing it with people, you'd have been quite happy to do that. Like, do you know what I mean? That'd have been a decent little number. Like, do you know what I mean? You're in an area which is, I don't like doing things for the sake of it. And in Afghanistan, you certainly weren't doing it for the sake of it. Do you know what I mean? Everything you did was because there was a genuine threat on the people that you were looking after. So I love that. It was good. You know, and I spent nearly 3 years in Afghanistan and I couldn't get my first trip over there. I did 8 months without going home. I was like, oh, fuck that. I was just staying.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was fucking, I was out every fucking day. I just loved it. I was out, you know, I was planning extraction routes. I was doing this. I was, you know, I spot coded the whole fucking city. Like, do you know what I mean? I did everything. I couldn't do enough recces. I bought a little motorbike so I could cut around town easier.
Yeah.
I wore civvy clothes, you know, proper Afghani civvy clothes with AK-47. Used to do all my advances like that. So I could cut down the side streets and get around. I had a great time. It was brilliant. And all the stuff I'd learned in the regiment, I was employing over there. So it was, you know, and the guys I was working with, to be fair, apart from a couple, all had similar backgrounds. So it was like, it was, you know, it was out of the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah.
And you were getting paid. You know, I went from being on whatever I was, you know, 34K a year in a Sabre squadron, in 2001 to, you know, 80k a year, minus not paying fucking tax because I was living overseas. Oh, yeah. It's fucking good money. Do you know what I mean? It was great money, and you were, you know, all right. I didn't come home very often because I had to stay out there to get that sort of money. But mate, the money was stacking up. I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, do you know what I mean? But the downside with that was I didn't know how to handle that money when I came home. And I would fucking, I mean, I'd be a menace on the piss if I had tenner in my pocket. You know, stick £1,000 in my pocket and send me on the piss.
Yeah.
You got a problem, like, you know what I mean? Because I am on the piss. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I started, not initially, but as things progressed on the circuit for me and I made money and I came home, because of the nature of the stuff that I was doing, which in some instances could be insanely dangerous, you know, and I have had some real scrapes where I've been in the Glad to Be Alive Club. And, you know, it's, again, no one cares because you're a contractor. Who cares? You take your money, you take your choice. No, you never heard any of the stories, you know, publicly of people doing stuff and people getting whacked and wasted and all that sort of, no one cared. Do you know what I mean? You were taking money as far as they were concerned. You were as good as a mercenary. Do you know what I mean? Call it what you want, contractor, mercenary, but that's what you were. So, you know, it took its toll on me in a way that when I came home, I just went weapons free every time I came home. And I can't do that because when I do start doing that, I start getting myself into trouble. Very easily get myself into trouble. I mean, I need to stay focused. I need to stay on top of things. If I just go weapons free in a pub, do you know what I mean? The only thing I haven't ever done is drugs. But I'm sure if I'd have got into it bad enough, I probably would have ended up on everything, like, do you know what I mean? So I know I have to curb my own behaviour. Yeah. It's really fucking hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really hard. I'm genuine about it. It's really hard. I have to genuinely sometimes just completely step out of it. But I wasn't doing that. I was coming home and I was going absolutely fucking bonkers on the piss. You know, shots at every opportunity, bottles of champagne by the fucking neck, sticking them down because I didn't have to worry about money anymore. It was one of the worst. It was such a double-edged sword. Do you know what I mean? It was great in one respect, but on the other side of it, I was a fucking maniac because there were no restraints on me now. I could go anywhere I want. I could stay out all night. I could drink till the cows come home. I could stay in a hotel if I wanted. I didn't care. Do you know what I mean? It was like, fuck you. I'll just do what I want.
Do what I want when I want. And ain't no one going to stop me.
Yeah.
My money, my time.
Yeah. And it just, it was terrible. So I was sort of like, I was working as hard as I could and loving life when I was away, coming home and partying 10 times harder. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, over the period, you know, I don't make any secrets of it. I ended up in Winchester, remanded in custody for attempted murder.
And you were... At one point, were you classed as the most dangerous man in Hampshire?
That's what they said when I was in court, yeah. And I made a quip to my fucking lawyers. I said, who the fuck have they got in Dorset? And it went down like a fart in a spacesuit, like, you know. Yeah. Yeah, but that's, you know, that's... And do you know what? When I was the first night in Winchester prison, I had to look in the mirror and go, you fucking idiot. Do you know, like, that film Sexy Beast where Don Logan looks in the mirror and he goes, no. I'm looking in the mirror doing the same thing, going, you fucking idiot, Campion, you fucking stupid fucking idiot. I'm looking in the mirror. And you know what? People sometimes say to you, you're mad if you talk to yourself. I now say to people, you're mad if you fucking don't. Because me acknowledging myself was what turned me around.
Yeah.
Me looking in that mirror and going, you need to sort yourself out, son, was what turned me around. Because nobody else was going to tell me. When you're in prison, no one else, it's survival mode. No one else cares about your predicament. They've got their own, everyone else has got, everyone's innocent and everyone's got their own predicament. Do you know what I mean? So you got no one to sort of like, oh, mate, yeah. Because he's going, shut up, mate, don't want to hear it. Do you know what I mean? Don't want to hear your fucking problems. I've got enough problems.
I've got
my own
shit to deal with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They got, you know, there's all sorts of domestic issues. There's all sorts of issues going on with behind bars. There's all sorts of this, that, the other. There's wants and needs. And you just become insular in as far as you've got no one to fucking talk to. The screws haven't got time. No one cares. You know, the whole system is just there to contain you, to keep you off the fucking public. That's all it does. You know what I mean? There's no, yeah, you could go to lessons and stuff like that, but it's just occupying you so don't smash yourself up or something. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's just bullshit. You know, I did maths. I hated maths so much, I thought I'll try and do some maths on them in there. I went to maths lessons and I spent my time in my cell trying to fucking do fractions. You know what I mean? Which was like just anything to turn my mind off. I hated it there.
At this point, though, you must have been mid-30s-ish?
Yeah, it must have been, no, later than that, in my 40s. In my 40s, because I came out, and that was when I got into boxing and all that, and I thought, I need somewhere to challenge my, give me some focus in fucking life, which was which turned out to be boxing. And still is boxing.
Like a lot of that, so it's the transition from the military to TV streets.
You need to be around like-minded people. You need direction. You need stuff that's going to fulfill your ambitions and needs, because I didn't have that. I had no civvy friends, really, in Southampton.
It's very, very hard to go from serving, especially like in a frontline unit, and then at Hereford to... Because civvies just politely...
Yeah, well, even the circuit stuff. Even the circuit stuff, because the circuit stuff for me was so intense, so long. Yeah. Doing stuff so when you come home, it's like, the fuck? I couldn't blend in at home. I didn't want to blend in at home either. I don't want to be a civvy.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a civvy. I'd have fucking gone to McDonald's and got a job and just been happy with my fucking 50 fucking whatever it is a year. I don't know. I don't even know. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. Whereas I would have done that. Do you know what I mean? I'd be happy with my 1 week of fucking month in Marbella and whatever. Do you know? I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
So I didn't. But it was, you know, it came at a cost. But like I say, once... I think I had to go so low before I stopped what I was doing to make me actually realise that no, you can't do it. You're not invincible anymore, Phil. You can't. You've got to screw the nut. You've got to start. And that's when I discovered boxing. That's when I discovered boxing, and that's when I mean, I'd always been to boxing clubs, but I'd be one of these blokes who turns up and never had a fight. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I just suddenly thought, no, you're gonna. And that's when I said to Rob. I found out there's a guy called Rob Paxman, XG Squadron. Got out early, similar to me. And a mate of mine, in fact, my lawyer knew him. And my lawyer said to him, why don't you fight Rob? Do you know what I mean? I was like, all right, I'll fight Rob. Fuck it. And we got this fight on. And it made a lot of money. And then I suddenly realised I could do good with this stuff. You know, and I could make decent money. And that's when I put the Rumbles on. And I had SAS versus SEALs and all that sort of stuff. And it was great. And it gave me direction. It gave me something to focus on. It gave me, you know, I was... so fortunate. I got introduced into the Peacock Gym in London. You know, I trained with Martin and Tony's lot. What a fucking great place to be. Around people that want to achieve, that want to fucking push the boundaries, that you're never going to be the hardest man in that gym. You're always going to have somebody to push your fucking boundaries. Do you know what I mean? It was fucking exactly what I needed.
And these guys are civvies.
Yeah.
But because of their relentless pursuit of excellence and wanting to be
absolutely
the best.
Absolutely that. Absolutely that. Do you know what I mean? They've become friends of mine, proper friends of mine. Do you know what I mean? And you know the links I've got into boxing at the moment with you know Wayne in Southampton and Ryan Garner, he's going for a world belt this year in St Mary's. I've been really blessed. Boxing changed my life. It really did. To think I had my first fight at 45 years old. Do you know what I mean? I'm hardly can call myself a boxer, but I've spent some serious time in the fucking ring now.
And you still get amongst it to the day, don't you? I went down and sparred.
Yeah. Only a light spar with Free Para the other day. Do you know what I mean? You know, I'm blessed now that I get to go to all these events. I turn up, you know, I get invited to a lot of this stuff. And I love training with the troops now. Do you know what I mean? It's great. It's great for me. Do you know what I mean? And I suppose, you know, they like having me along as well. So I'm in a really good place at the moment with that sort of stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Good.
But I can't advocate to other people enough that if your life is going in such a direction, you need to put things...
Only you can control your direction ultimately, can't you?
Yeah, you need to put things in place that you want to do.
Yeah, no one's going to do it for you.
Yeah, yeah. Especially as a bloke, no one's going to do it for you. No one's going to turn around and go, Phil, do you know what I mean? You fall off the wheel, you get yourself back on the fucking wheel. Some people will help you sometimes, but, you know, So Simon Rusk, who was Southampton's interim manager in the year that they struggled, said to me, he said, you know, when we lose, the dressing room's empty. When you win... it's full. The director's down. Everybody's down. And that's true in life as well. You know, when you're winning, when you're on the crest of the wave, there's fucking every man and his dog's patting you on the back.
Yeah.
As soon as you come off that wheel, fucking tumbleweed. Off it goes. Nobody wants to know. Nobody cares. You know what I mean? You just, boom, you've gone in. You know what I mean? That's it. So what? You know, you'll get the odd person, but they won't stay for long. And I've been there. I've been there this year. You know what I mean?
People that have really got your back, though. You know, you definitely do. Help out. And
I am blessed. I've got a nucleus of people who look after me and know when things are wrong. Do you know what I mean? And I've got, you know, similar to yourself, you know, you've reached out a couple of times. And I know that. Do you know what I mean? I know there's people out there that have got my back and will help you get back on your feet. But there's also people trying to rip you off your perch as well. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, more for them because you're hell bent on watching other people fail and trying to drag them down. It says a lot more about them and the position they're probably in than it does.
Well, you know, I heard someone. So I had a situation this year where, you know, we were bridging gaps. And then I know that people couldn't invest as far as they wanted to invest and all that sort of stuff. And I understand that, and that was fine. But when I find out that one person in particular would have spent £40,000 on a lawyer to fucking destroy you, as opposed to put 10 grand in to help you bridge a gap at the end of a month, that's wrong, is it? But that's the mentality of some people. Do you know what I mean? They pay 40 grand to destroy you completely.
Yeah.
Sooner than give you 10 to help you get over a fucking hurdle. Do you know what I mean? That's like, where the... And I couldn't get my head around it.
No, it's mad, isn't it?
Get my head around it. Do you know what I mean? I really couldn't. And that's what you're up against sometimes.
When you go to bed at night, do you have any regrets or anything? Or are you going to bed peaceful at night?
No, I'm quite... Look, I've done things in my life that I'm not proud of. I've done things that I shouldn't have done. And I've been an absolute...
You've owned them.
But I have owned them. By owning them, you make peace with them. It won't make what you did right. It never will. But if you can learn from that, and if you can help other people learn from that, you know, that's a big thing for me now as well. I'm in a really, really healthy position where, you know, I can approach the military. Rowley Walker. I was in the trees with Rowley. Do you know what I mean? I was on the same selection as Rowley. I can speak to Rowley on a level where I actually know the bloke. Do you know what I mean? He's a great guy, right? He's a great guy. So he's the top of the tree in the military, CTS or whatever it is they call him now, right? I can also walk into Harrogate with a soldier that's been there for a week and sit there and clean his weapon with him. Do you know what I mean? It's a unique position to be in. I can talk to people on a level, at any level. Do you know what I mean? At any level in the British military, I can sit down and I can have a conversation. And that's a blessed place to be. It really is. Do you know what I mean? There's people, you know, if I'd have sort of like gone down this road of being an honorary colonel or something like that, people still got to stand up when I walk in a room and all that sort of stuff. I don't want that. You know, all the stuff I do with the military is done as a bloke, as a trooper.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to be. But I realised that because of the stature that I've got now, which isn't huge, but it's enough that I know that I can still talk to the people at the very top who I know. Do you know what I mean? I know them.
Yeah.
It's a fucking great place to be.
It's wicked.
It really is. And if I can make some difference, if I can help other people, if I can make people's lives better, and I'm never going to do the thing where I slag the military off. You know, you could go on about the food and the rats in the block, and I could go and take photographs of Welly Barracks and all the rest of the stuff that goes out there. I'm not going to do that. If I've got a major problem and I see something going wrong, I will approach someone like the Army Sergeant Major and say, oh, you might want to have a look at that. Do you know what I mean? I don't need to do that publicly. But what I do want to do is I want to promote the military in the best light possible. A, to try and attract people in, but B, to try and retain those that are there, because I know how fucking hard it is when you get out. And the grass isn't fucking greener. But it is. It's greener on your side. Yeah. It's not greener on this side. I can tell you that now. Do you know what I mean? It ain't greener on this side.
Yeah.
And you've got a marvellous opportunity. We're going to go into a period now where you're going to get a lot of bang for your buck in the military. You're going to be going to do some really cool stuff in the next 10 years. You know what I mean? So it would be a great time to be in. Do you know what I mean? It's come round full circle again. The gongs are going to start going back up.
And it always does, you know? And even at that, you know, you get to travel the world for free. You got so many opportunities in the military. Like, where else can you go skiing for 100 quid?
Yeah, exactly.
But weeks all inclusive. Like, you know, the one AT. Of many perks. Like, and again, like when tours end up coming about, and you know, the war of terror, Afghanistan and Iraq, like, rest in peace to the guys that are no longer with us and the guys that have suffered after. But again, it's the experiences you have from it. There's such a small percentage.
The friendships you make. The whole thing is just, think twice before you fucking start signing off and doing that sort of stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, if you don't like where you are, if you genuinely don't like where you are, find another job within the system.
And also,
there's plenty of stuff to do.
Look at yourself. Like, are you unhappy, like, as a whole, or are you just having a bad moment? If you're just
having a bad moment, that's a big thing. I mean, you can have bad moments. I've had bad moments.
Yeah. But don't throw your career away.
And no.
Definitely, if you're a bloke watching, don't sign off for a woman. I didn't. Just
I know what you're saying. Yeah, no, absolutely.
A lot of friends have, and then they're like, the missus is leaving me.
CSA and stuff like that gets weighs blokes down, and you know, there's always a way. If you want to continue, there's always a way.
Yeah.
Own your shit. There's always a way to get on with it. Do you know what I mean? Be honest. Tell people you've got problems. Talk about your mental health. That was a big thing for me in my day. Mental health was absolutely taboo.
Not a thing.
You couldn't
talk
about it. In fact, to the point that you almost felt like, if I say to people I'm struggling here, they're just going to go, you're just trying to make up an excuse for your behaviour. And I genuinely still feel like that now. I so struggle with talking about stuff, even though I've got probably, you know, with the sexual abuse that I suffered as a kid, I've probably got quite a fucking quite a deep catalogue of shite going on in there. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? But I've always had to try and I've always tried to deal with it myself. And it's only in the last few years that I've started talking about it publicly. And I've done it twofold. A, to help myself, but B, to try and help other people as well. Because if people can't, if you haven't got mental health yourself, that's fine, but you still need to be able to empathize with those that have.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I remember, you know, I've heard conversations of bloody God, fucking just weak, man up, all that sort of stuff. No bollocks.
Yeah.
Absolutely
it's
bollocks.
It's not weakness at all.
You know, nobody wants to be like that. Nobody, you know what I mean? And if it's fixable, it's fixable.
Nobody more so than that person that is sat there.
Yeah, because, what you're doing, you just make them insular by them thinking that if you broker it with them, they're fucked. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's one of those things. I had a conversation with a brigadier about it the other day. I told him I struggled this year. The black dog went on my shoulders this year. Do you know what I mean? And it can happen at any time to anybody. Do you know what I mean? Don't think because you've never had it, you're out of the woods. Because all of a sudden, I always say you're sort of like you're two poor decisions away from a fucking catastrophe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have too much to drink, you clout someone, you're in the shit. Boom. Your whole life's over. Do you know what I mean? And that's how quick it can go.
Yeah.
That's how quick it can go. You know? But you're also two good decisions away from putting it right. And the number one decision has to be you own it yourself.
Yeah.
And the number two decision has to be you speak to someone else. Those are the only two things you've got to do. And you're on the back. Yeah. Have a look at the chest. There you go. Do you know what I mean? And you're off.
Yeah.
You're up and running again. Yeah. Do you know?
Yeah, absolutely. People, we live in a world where everything's so materialistic, isn't it? But if you can bring your good health.
Yeah. My health is my wealth now. Do you know what I mean? You get to a stage where you realise you've got what you've got. Nothing wrong with trying to improve that lot to a point, but actually my main focus now is my missus, my dog, my kids, myself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because stress is a huge killer of people. Do you know what I mean? Stress will kill you.
Yeah.
I'm not making it up. Do you know what I mean? And I've had the high blood pressure. I've had the hypertension. I've got this. I've got that. Do you know what I mean? I've had the low testosterone, all these sorts of things that, you know, the menopause. It's a thing. It is a fucking thing. And it had me on my fucking knees. Like, do you know what I mean? Go and see the doctor. Stop looking online. Stop self-diagnosing. Stop fucking reading all this fucking shit. Stop looking at influencers that are flexing and going like that, because that ain't you. That's you. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Look at you. Go and see the doctor. He'll tell you what's going on.
Yeah. And let's touch on something to say about health as well. Wait, you lost a lot of weight over the last couple of years as well, hadn't you?
Yeah, it's come down. I put a little bit back on last year, but it'll come off again. I need to get on a program where it steadily comes off, because I keep crashing it off the fight and then I'll crash it back on again, because as soon as I've had my fight and I've got nothing to train for, I'll go back on the kebabs and the booze. You know what I mean? So it's not great. But I am, you know, this year I'm taking it really seriously. I've gone and seen a doctor. I've had all my bloods done. I'm having my bloods done every fucking 6 weeks at the moment. You know, I'm taking diet seriously. I'm taking my training seriously. Overdoing it at my age is a huge thing. Do you know what I mean? You think you can go in, you think you're 20 again.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you're like, geez, why doesn't that work? It doesn't work because it just doesn't work anymore. You're too old. Do you know what I mean? You've got to own that as well.
Yeah.
It's not to say that you can't do the things you want to do and look after what you got. You know, if you're in your 40s, and I sort of like came off the wheel in my 40s a little bit, and that's why I'm probably behind the curve now. But I've still got an engine in there, still works.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I still, you know, you still get three good rounds out of me. You still get, you know, you still get a lot out of me. Do you know what I mean? So it's all there to go for. Do you know what I mean? I still bench press 140 kilos,
which
for someone my size.
It's a lot. And for people of your age, again, I'm not calling you old, but majority of people your age can't stand up out of a chair without the aid of their hands.
Yeah, it's insane.
I can still get down, still squat, I'm still there, I'm happy, it's more than most can do, and it's use it or lose it.
It hurts sometimes but it's use it or lose it. You've got to keep it going, and that's mentally again. You've got to find something you enjoy. It's no good getting on a fucking treadmill if you're bored after 10 minutes. Find something that you actually satisfies your needs.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? You've got to enjoy it.
You can't just do it because it's the right thing to do.
No.
I mean, it's better than doing nothing. But there's so much stuff out there, isn't there?
There's so much out there.
You can play badminton if that's like going to be your thing.
It's paddle tennis nowadays. Yeah, you know what I mean? I was speaking to Matt Letizia the other day. He does the old paddle tennis now to keep himself going. Do you know what I mean?
It's better than sitting about doing nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It is a fun fact for a sport, and badminton just popped into my head because tism. A shuttlecock can travel at 250 miles an hour faster than a tennis ball or ice hockey puck.
Jesus.
How about that?
Yeah, imagine that.
That was like proper, like off on
sting,
a tangent,
sting as well.
It?
Like,
yeah,
a sting.
Yeah, if that catches your eye, I'm probably just sat there laughing at us. Cheers, mate.
but you're right. You've got to find something.
Anything to do is better than doing nothing. Let's touch a little bit on some supplements that you use. Yep. So just, you know, so you take your health seriously.
So for me, the sleep stuff is a massive one. The sleep stuff, the magnesium, the ashwagandha, huge. Because, and it does work. It genuinely works. Yep. Genuinely works. My sleep pattern over the last sort of like, it got destroyed doing the anti-piracy stuff because I was doing four on, four off.
Yeah.
And I was doing like months of it. So I got to this stage where even when I got home, I couldn't sleep for more than 4 hours, which is not great.
No.
You know, you should try and have 7 to 8, really. Do you know what I mean? And people might agree or disagree, but I'll tell you now, I feel happier when I've had 7 hours sleep than what I do when I've had four.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And interrupted sleep is not good.
No, it's not.
So, you know, you're going to get things come into play when you're a bit older, like your bladder gets a bit smaller, you have to get up to pee and all that sort of stuff. Do you know what I mean? So that's going to come into play anyway. So the time that you want to get into this like REM sleep, don't you? You want to get into this proper sleep. Yeah. That gets you there. That's some bonkers dreams. Not going to lie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, wild,
I have some absolute fucking roller coasters. Like, do you know what I mean? But they go in the morning. Do you know what I mean? They're gone. But when you're asleep, you're like, wow, I'm proper asleep, which is good. So that's a big thing for me. The sleep stuff is massive for me. The whey, I've always loved your whey. I've always taken whey as a supplement, especially when I'm trying to get the weight down. Do you know what I mean? Because I want to try and maintain what muscle I've got left. And at my age, that's massively important. Yeah, but I also want to do it in such a way where I'm not just stuffing all the time. Do you know what I mean?
And it's easy and convenient, isn't it? It's a cost-effective, easy way to hit your daily protein goals.
Yeah.
And I had to put that tub out there for you as well. Because it is literally a jammy dodger.
Mate, that is me. That's a bit of me. That's my favourite one. I love that. Well, the butterscotch one's coming up then, haven't it? I do like the butterscotch one. Creatine. Creatine, massively important. My doctor told me to take creatine.
Yeah.
My doctor said, get the creatine in you. Yeah. Now, you do the flavoured one now, right?
Yeah.
Which is a game changer. Because sometimes I forget to scoop it into my thing or you can't just take it.
It's just like having squash, isn't it?
It's like having squash.
So good.
It's like having squash. Good. So I absolutely rate that because it's a doable form. You can stick it in your bowl. You've got a bottle of creatine with you. You can dump it down like water. So you're hydrating and you're doing it.
Yeah.
The hydrating stuff you do, again, I get cramps, really bad cramps. I don't get it if I look after myself. So your products really for me that I use are all designed about looking after me.
Yeah. And because
you know what I mean?
There's no snake oil sales.
It's not even so much about, it's not for me personally, it's not even so much about the progression. I'm not going to be that bodybuilder now. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to compete at a massive level. So for me, it's a survival thing. For me, it's doing the best thing for my body to get myself to the next day.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? I'm not a combat fuel athlete. I'm using it to enhance my life. Do you know what I mean? I do athletic things, but I'm not an athlete. Do you know what I mean? I'm past those days.
Oh, no, I slightly disagree. Like, if you have a body, you are an athlete.
Okay.
Absolutely. All right. Absolutely, you are. You know, how many guys or girls are going around still boxing, sparring with free power?
It was good. I enjoyed it. I'll give you some footage to bang on here.
Fraser, edit this in.
It was fun. I'll send you a little clip of me getting my head kicked in by paratroopers.
Love it. It's before we finish the film, we've got one bit of advice for your younger self.
Never, ever, ever give up on anything. Do you know what I mean? Always believe. Always believe that there's something there to be had. And if I'm honest, I should have fucking listened more to people as well. Do you know what I mean? I was terrible for listening to people. I always thought I knew better. I always thought I could do this, that and the other. But actually, it's in my later years that I look around and think to myself, if I'd have listened, if I'd have done that, it would have been slightly different. But on the positive side of that, I wouldn't be in the position I am where I've made so many mistakes that I can steer other people away from them. Because I've always said, if you never find out what it's like at the bottom of the trough, how can you tell people what it was like at the top? Because they won't know. You've never been there. Do you know what I mean? I can't explain. You've got to have been.
Yeah, you got to. I always say, you know,
I've been that low. I could get under a snake's belly with a fucking top hat on. Do you know what I mean? So I've been down that road. You can't explain. You can't understand it until you've been there. But at the same time, I don't want people to go there. I want them to learn without going there. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to advise the people. Well, be as bad as you can because that way you can learn. Look around and learn from other people. Do you know what I mean? Because this progression is made by stepping stones that are already laid by other people. Do you know what I mean? We didn't get to the stage where we've got electric lights, flat televisions and all that by never having square televisions, box televisions and no electricity.
Yeah.
It's a stepping stone. So each generation progresses by learning from what the other generation did. So all I'm trying to do is go, right, I'll put you on a platform there to start your fucking journey from because mine started from down there. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I think that's important.
What's the physical piece of action someone can do who's watching this to level up their life? Like today,
own yourself. Own your. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror, and have a look at what comes back at you. I said this to some footballers. I briefed a football team, a Premier League team, and I went and did some work with them. And I said to them, if you walk off that pitch at the end of 90 minutes and look in the mirror and you can say to yourself, I did the best I could, then you've had a good day. If you walk off and think, well, I swerved that challenge or didn't quite give it as much as I could have done there, or I hid behind the pack in that one, you'll know. You fucking know. You can't bluff yourself.
Yep.
So the only person on this planet you can't lie to is right there in that mirror. So get in there and debrief yourself. Do you know what I mean? Get in there and talk to yourself. Go and ask yourself. Because when you're happy with yourself, when you know that you're doing the best you can, and you fucking know when you haven't,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Then you're owning stuff. That's what owning stuff is.
Yeah.
Owning stuff is not just turning up and saying, yeah, well, I had a shit day yesterday, but nobody fucking knew, I didn't get caught out. Owning it is saying, yeah, I had a shit day yesterday, I'm going to fucking sort it out now. That's owning it. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. You've also got a pretty successful YouTube channel yourself as well on social media, but where can people find you? Come and...
Big Phil Unfiltered. Is my YouTube channel now. Obviously, all my social media is at Big Phil Campion, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook page, all that sort of stuff. Do you know what I mean? So you can find me. And yeah, I will be continuing to branch out as much as I can on my own social media platforms, because I think that's where I am at now. That's what I want to do. That's where I have best effect now. Do you know what I mean? I think that's what I enjoy doing. So yeah.
But Phil, thank you for coming over here. Thank you for your service. Pleasure to have you on.
No, thanks for having me.
Thank you very much.
All right. Happy days.